Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ to our worship service this morning. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. Please follow along in your bulletin and please notice any of the announcements that you see in the back of your bulletin. Let us now worship the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please rise in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory is above the heavens.
Yet God lifts up the lowly.
Then let us look to the Lord and be glad.
We will rejoice and give thanks for God's mighty works.
Let us worship God.
Thank you.
When we could be infused with God's grace, we find ourselves fearing God's judgment, doubting God's love for us, or feeling as if God has turned away from us. Let us come to the one who gives us the power to walk deeper into faith and away from sin in our call to confession. Have mercy, O God, and forgive us our sin.
Return us to paths of righteousness.
Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Friends, let us pray. Blessed and eternal God, in the hushed silence of this moment, you ask us to unburden ourselves of those things that we carry along inside of us, the memories of words spoken hastily, of actions, O God, that we regret. We lift up to you in this prayer of confession, O God, the deep awareness that we are not the people that you have created us to be. O God, we ask that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see your beauty and your glory, which then illuminates the dark corners and recesses of our lives that we have not turned over for your healing touch. God, forgive us for walking past those who grieve and mourn. Forgive us, O God, for turning a blind eye to the injustices of this world. Forgive us, O God, for placing our needs and desires ahead of those who are weaker, more vulnerable, lonely, depressed, or sick. God, we ask that you would blaze a patient path in our lives to be more like your Son, Jesus. And so forgive us our sins as we confess to you now in silence those sins that weigh heavily upon our hearts. Friends, if you are able, please stand. It is by the goodness, mercy, and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we live each and every day of our lives. And I declare to you in his name that we are forgiven. Therefore, we should always forgive one another. Amen. Friends, once again, I will invite Suzanne forward to show us the passing of the peace. Thank you so much.
God be with you.
Amen. Amen. Friends, please be seated. Now, I see a young lady in the back there, and I don't want to embarrass her. But if she would be so willing to come forward and help me light the Christ candle, I would be so happy. Would you be willing to do that, sweetie? Today, we light the Christ candle, remembering the great promise that God made to Abram to be with us. There you go. Very, very brave. Amen. Thank you so much, sweetheart. I appreciate that. Friends, we are reminded once again this day that the life and ministry of College Drive continues. And so you will see on each of the entrance and exits are our offering plates. If you will please place your offering there as we offer them to continue God's work. Let us have a prayer. Blessed God, thank you for these gifts that have been given. Thank you for the time, talent, and treasure that is given for the furthering of your kingdom. We ask that your blessed hand will be upon them to multiply them, that they may be signs and symbols of your peace and presence in this world. For we ask it in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think a doxology would be wonderful.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination for hearing of God's word. Blessed God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Send these words to us on the wings of your Holy Spirit so that we may hear them properly. May these words heal us of our greed and speak words of startling truth so that we may walk in the light of your love. In your name we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading comes from Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, and now a reading from Genesis, chapter 15, 1 through 20, as we continue our journey through the book of Genesis. Listen for God's word to us today. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You've given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He brought him all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over and against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. When the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be slaves there. And they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A star-filled sky with a vision from God prompts Abram to cut up animals on a sacrificial altar. Ancient religion is filled with mystery, blood, darkness, and promises. The journey of God's revelation is taking shape. The unnamed creator of heaven and earth is unveiling in stages who God is and how we should live our lives. You see, God is unnamed at this point, and Abram is not yet Abraham. There's more to the story. The story is unfinished. Now, what we can be sure of concerning who God is up to this point in Genesis is this: God is mysterious and God is loving. The nature of God thus far is bound by these two realities. On the one hand, we see the love of God concretely expressed, and on the other hand, we see this love hidden in judgment, hidden in suffering, hidden behind the larger movements of floodwaters and famine and darkness and political intrigue. The mystery of God in Genesis is the hidden love behind the great drama of human history. It's not easy to see God's love when people are starving from a famine and must flee to Egypt. It's not easy to see the love of God when most of creation is drowned in the waters of judgment. The hidden, mysterious nature of God's love against the backdrop of Abram's life is a constant source of suffering for him. The hidden, mysterious nature of God is something that plagues him. For Abram, it's not easy to hold on to the love of God when Pharaoh takes your wife because you lied and said that she was your sister. God's love seems mysteriously checked out when Abram looks up at the stars in a visionary promise that his descendants will outnumber the stars, and yet he remains childless. And now, the mysterious nature of this unnamed God takes the most unprecedented route yet in the astounding book of Genesis. God tells Abram that he will have a son. But in the same breath, God tells Abram that his people will be suffering slaves in a foreign kingdom for hundreds of years. Thanks, God. Our faith is built on the trust of God's promises. But what happens when God promises death and hardship and suffering? What do we do when God says, you know, I'll give you a family, I'll give you a place to work, I'll give you a reason to rise up each morning with dignity, but that same God will also disclose the lash of the master's whip, that your children will be mistreated, that you will not see your home, and that life will be hard. The love and mystery of God is bound up in this chaotic story. This is an all too real narrative that is steeped in the realities and problems of planet Earth. And the love of God is hidden in the tears of history. The love of God is deeply submerged in the lost and lonely roads of suffering. Now, this is the part of the deal when it comes to trusting God and how hard that can be. But friends, if we do the spiritual and imaginative work, we can see that dark night sky. We can see the dripping blood of the slaughtered carcasses. We can see the star-mingled light interrupted by a flaming torch and know that faith is trusting the promises of God, though they be hard, and to believe that it is easy to do so. I have seen such faith in my days. For the husband who calmly holds the hand of his dying wife. For the teacher who never gives into the cynicism that her students are incapable of learning. For the pastor who preaches to mostly empty pews, but trusts that God's promises will be fulfilled. Our religion looks much different than Abram's. No torchlight, no cut-up animals. Yet one thing remains the same: trusting the promises of God even when it's hard. The promises of God are threefold for Abram: a place to call home, a blessed life, and descendants. Home, blessings, and family. Seems like one of those signs at Hobby Lobby, right? But you know, such promises do anchor us against the harsh reality of an unpredictable world. Yet God also reveals that home will be lost, curses will come, and families will be scattered. Can we put that on a Hobby Lobby sign? Probably wouldn't sell. It's too scriptural. In a deep sleep surrounded by a terrifying darkness, Abraham encounters the love and mystery of God. Now, God is love, and we know this because God desires a home for Abram. God desires a place for Abram to plant his feet. God is love because God knows that Abram's life is going to be light and hope for others. God is love because God wants Abram to share his life with those that love him. You know, such promises, even today, show us that God wants us to have a good life. And you see, the essence of faith arises when we know that God is good, that God wants to bless us, that God desires that each and every one of us should live a blessed life. You see, before we can trust God, we have to believe in the essential goodness of God. The covenant with God begins for each of us this morning because Abram believed that God was good, that God would not leave him without love, that God would not leave him without the love and support of others, that God would never abandon Abram without a way forward through any crisis. And under a countless horde of stars on a far-off night, in the midst of deep sleep, terrifying dreams arrest Abram with the dark truth of the coming hard road. Now, when Abram wakes up, he doesn't flee back to Ur. He doesn't give up. No, Abram arises with the knowledge that God is good, that God is honest, and if plan A does not work out, we have 25 other letters in the alphabet to find a way to make it. Well, let's make that point a different way. If we have plan Aleph and that doesn't work, there are 21 other letters in the Hebrew alphabet to get it done. When we reread Genesis, we see rather quickly that God is going to need all of those letters to come up with the best plan because God is working with humans. What a predicament we have put God in. And I don't know if you know this, but we humans don't always choose the best way forward. But the love of God and the mystery of God has encountered a covenant with Abram. Love and mystery come together as a package deal in our relationship with God, and the mystery of God cuts a deal with Abram in a special and fateful way. God gets real with Abram. This encounter far exceeds any dealings God has had with any other person in the book of Genesis this far. God's relationship with Noah looks like a mere acquaintanceship when compared with the night blackness and the great dark intimacy with Abram. You know, real relationships are like that. It's not always a walk in the park. Real relationships have peaks and valleys. Real relationships require us to love and to suffer, to give good news and to give bad news. That's what it means to be in a real relationship. So now we come to the core of what is asked of Abram. Will Abram trust God through it all? If we choose to trust God through it all, then we're going to have to deal with some mystery. And dealing with mystery requires that we have to let go of our control. Abram's covenant encounter with God takes place in the shadowy realm of his deepest sleep and darkest dreams. The mystery of God is the hair on your neck, raised in wonder. The mystery of God is this otherworldly sense that life cannot be reduced, quantified, or replicated. It is in this encounter that starts our religion. Here is where the deal cut with God truly begins. God is love, yes, but that love comes with the experience of mystery, the unknown, the trails of suffering, and the darkness of the night. We cannot have one without the other, God's love and God's mystery. The covenant dreams of Abram is the birth of religion. And friends, we're living that dream. Never forget that what we share together as a church family is a part of Abram's covenant dream. The deep and wondrous words that we say together, the Apostles' Creed, when we sing the doxology, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we begin to take shape of the deep sleep of a worried man that was told that suffering was just around the road. We hold on to those promises of God today by the skin of our teeth in a world that pushes us to the brink of giving up. Abram's path was not a straight one. Nor is he the kind of ancient hero who beheads Medusa or defeats the Kraken. No, that is not what makes Abram a hero for us this morning. You know, the ancient world is full of such stories of heroes who use their swords and wits to make it where they are going. But not Abram. He lives the covenant dream that he received one dark night. He fails. He lies. He doubts. He struggles. He's a real person. And God chooses him so that through Abram's wandering, through his travels and struggles, God can choose us all. You know, Abram is on a journey not to the promised land. Abram is on a journey to become Abraham. That is his destination. He's not trying to reach Valhalla. He's not trying to defeat the monster. No, Abram is just trying to become something else, something better, something new. He's just trying to hold on to a belief in God for just another day. And I hope this morning that there are covenant dreamers here in this place. People who believe that God is good, even though the path be hard, covenant dreamers who trust that the journey is worth taking. Each of us who are on the road to becoming our better selves. Friends, we are covenant dreamers, people who are far from perfect, but nevertheless hold on to God's promises for one more day. Amen. Friends, will you please stand as we affirm our faith by praying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And I would now like to invite Pastor Keith to come forward for our prayers of the people.
Good morning. It is good to be with all of you once again as we come to this time of prayer and time of lifting up those who are in need. And Pastor Will, I think that you had an announcement for us.
It's with deep sadness that I tell all of you that yesterday Jody Bricker passed away, that her struggle with cancer is now over, and that she has entered the promises and graces of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep the Bricker family in your prayers, especially for Andy and for their three precious daughters. She was surrounded by love and family and friends up to the very moment of her last breath. Please pray for the Bricker family.
Thank you. And now it's your turn. I have two that I'd like to mention. First of all, Anna, we're glad you're back with us this morning. Spoke to Anna this week, and surgery went well, and she is back up and going. That's wonderful. I'd also like to introduce a friend that has come to church for the first time and joined us. His name is Keith Bankus. He's sitting over here. We met Keith through one of our outreach programs here at the church, and he asked if he would be able to join us for church. We're glad to have him with us today. Others that we'd like to lift up, or does anybody have any joy that you'd just like to share with us this morning? And silence comes over the crowd. Yes, Stephanie. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. Helen? Others. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, it is in the stillness of the morning that we come to you and render thanks for all that you have given. It's in the stillness of the morning that we come to you and just realize how precious life is. It's in the stillness of the morning that we come and lift up those concerns, the joys of our hearts. Lord, we are just so thankful that you are a part of our lives. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, you are still there, and you still are God. And for that, we can never give thanks enough. We also know that you hear our prayers. And oftentimes, Lord, when we are praying, we know that those prayers may not end the way we have been praying. But we know that it is still your will. And we pray, Lord, that we are able to accept your will and that you give us the peace to understand your will. But in the midst of the stillness, we still pray for those who need your healing, who need your touch of mercy, who need your surroundness of love, care, and comfort. And it's in the stillness of the morning that we give thanks. So, Lord, be not only with us gathered here, but with all of those who are on our hearts and our minds, those who have been lifted up and those who remain nameless. And again, we pray that we understand for your will to be done, not ours, and each and every request. For we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught his disciples to pray, beginning, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Friends, deep peace of the flock of stars by night to you, deep peace of the running waves to you, deep peace of the flowing grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Deep peace, go in peace. Amen.